We now consider the late question. Councillor Anudal-Samurai, do you wish to ask a supplemental question?
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I do. I was concerned about this exchange for a number of reasons, really. I suppose my main concern is when we start to make judgments about people based on their class or their income. And I do think there has been a tendency with this administration to belittle or to get frustrated with people who come along, who they see as middle class. Sorry, I'm getting to the point. I was just thinking about when the cemeteries deputation came and they were seen as middle class concerns because they cared about trees.
Yes, we need a supplemental question.
I understand that, Madam Mayor, but I have to try and give the context. So I was also, I suppose, worried about the class point. And I was worried that people actually seem to have quite a valid point about 100% social housing versus 100% private development. And yet that's dismissed because people are either middle class.
There's still a question we're looking for.
That's either dismissed because people are middle class or because they disagree. And I thought the body language when that deputation was here was really interesting, literally turning your back
on
people.
Yeah, a question, please.
So I suppose my question is, do you think those people have a point that there is a danger of having developments which are 100% social and 100% private, and actually that leads to divided communities based on class, which is something that I'm sure none of us would want to see?
Councillor Livington, would you reply?
Thank you. I mean, I'd like to repeat my apology for an inappropriate remark. It was made, I think, because I was quite upset by some of the comments which seemed to be being suggested by the deputation, that there was a link between council housing and crime. You know, both my parents grew up in social housing. Most of my constituents, mine is one of only two wards left now that has a majority of people that live in council housing in it, and yet actually the level of crime in my ward is slightly less than the borough average, so I don't recognise that characterisation, and I hope that's some reassurance to the people in the deputation that there isn't a link between council housing and crime. I thought the deputations were actually quite interesting because I thought actually the two deputations we have, I think, showed us some of the tensions there are around housing. I thought St Mungo's were actually very good at demonstrating actually some of the huge severe need that we have, how the private rented sector isn't meeting it and in some ways making it worse, and we've seen that grow exponentially, which is obviously why the council is doing something to put that right and to have more regulation of the private rented sector. And yet, because actually we're a very small borough, wherever we build those homes, there are likely to be challenges about where we build them. I think the reality is we have lost far more homes through right to buy on just the estates immediately around the pump house over the last 30 years than we're putting back in there through these proposals. So I think actually the reality is this is only slightly reversing the trend that's been going on for many years. But certainly if my comments were inappropriate, if people took offence to that, I apologise.
Councillor Al-Samurai, do you have a second supplemental question?
My question was whether 100% social and 100% private was the answer, but anyway. My second supplemental is to the Leader about consultation, because I think one of the examples that the deputation gave was that they just hadn't been consulted at all in the pump house. Councillor Whitehead referred to the boatyard where they were eventually consulted, and the response to them saying we're concerned about height on 20 storeys meant it came back as 25 storeys. And the Mayflower TRA also discovered that their hall was going to be a housing site by tweet. So there does seem to be a repeating pattern going on about consultation. I think we all want to see council housing, but clearly we need to do that with residents and not just imposed on them. So will the Leader commit to reviewing some of what's gone wrong about consultation processes with a view to improving them?
I want to thank Councillor Al-Samurai for her supplemental question. I think, yes, I think there are always lessons to learn, because it is much better to have the community supporting what I think is obviously good news for an area than being opposed to it. And I think we have had conversations about how we get that done better in future. I think there are observations in terms of how we handle planning applications. Of course, we are trying to move to a digital by default council. That is as a part of the requirement, really, that we need to find savings in what we do. So it sometimes means that people who might have had a postal consultation letter about planning won't have it, and therefore please sign up to the My Southwark website and make sure that you keep informed of local planning applications. But there is that tension there. But I do hear exactly what she says. It's something that we have been conscious of and aware of. As I say, it really grieves me when, you know, a proposal for new housing, and particularly for new council housing, is seen as a threat to the local community, when actually it can bring huge benefits to the people living on this estate, as well as the community benefits that are part of the package. And so, yes, we're always going to work harder to make that happen. And I do please urge all councillors, I mean, I said in my speech about where people, I thought people sat on this issue, but really, you know, the proof is in the pudding. If you want to see council housing delivered across our borough, please get yourself involved in the process as soon as possible, and I would encourage Councillor Williams to do that, to make sure that all members are informed at the very earliest opportunity. Please be involved in the process, and please help be advocates for what I think is good news that Southwark is doing. And again, you know, I say to members opposite, and particularly to those in the north of the borough, you know, if you know a site where new council housing could go, or possibly could go, please, please, you know, come and talk to us about that. And if you have a concern about, well, we don't want 100% council housing, but we think a scheme which is 50-50 or something could work on this particular site, then come and talk to us about it. It is beholden on us all, I think, to try and help us solve the housing crisis in our borough and in London. But we can honestly do that together if we're all trying to work to identify those sites. It's the same, actually. I said north of the borough, but actually it equally applies to East Dulwich and fantastic. So for that, we are grateful, and long may that continue. And I hope that gives some reassurance to Councillor Al-Samarai in response to her question.
Thank you. We'll now consider members' questions. We have 30 minutes for questions, so members should ensure their supplemental questions are genuine questions and rather than speeches. So, questions to the leader, Councillor Hamish McCallum.
Thank you, Madam. Very briefly, I'd just like to congratulate you on your new role as chair. I do have a supplemental question. First, thank you to the leader, though, for his answer, and very specifically for his commitment in including myself as the chair of the Chambers Wharf Community Liaison Group in the notes that are circulated from the coordination meetings. I remember being at a public meeting at Riverside School a little over a year ago where the council leader was steadfast in his commitment that local residents would be protected and listened to and acted on their behalf by the council as we go through this very long and very damaging project at Chambers Wharf. But given that there have been repeated concerns by residents around this, about the same issues, all of which have had to do with the council's enforcement or permissions and processes. I wonder what more he can offer and can do and can say to reassure those residents about how the council will stand in their corner in the future.
I want to thank Councillor McCallum for his question. I was actually briefed by a phalanx of officers yesterday on this very issue because I was aware that concerns had been raised. I think we've gone through a period, and you might know better than I do, actually, on this point, but we've gone through a period fairly recently where Thames Water have departed the site and Thames Tideway, who are the tunnel builders, who've moved onto the site, and I think that has caused some communication issues. I think it's also been the case, as I understand it, that when issues or complaints have been raised with Thames Water or Thames Tideway, that the council hasn't necessarily been kept in the loop on that, and so residents are kind of expecting the council to be aware that something has happened, but that hasn't happened. And I suppose I would say, because it is the case, that if residents do have a concern, I still understand it's Alistair Huggett who is the officer who coordinates everything in respect of Thames Tideway Tunnel at Chambers Wharf. There will be a new officer in place very soon. I can't remember if they've been recruited or being recruited, who will be responsible for all the environmental issues, including noise, including anything to do with the planning issues and conditions throughout the duration of the contract, I think there being half a five-year contract or six-year contract, by the council, paid for by Thames Tideway. And I hope that that officer will become the go-to person for councillors and residents in Riverside to raise their concerns. So at the moment it's still Alistair Huggett. Will continue to be Alistair Huggett who will be the coordinating officer going forward, but there will be an officer in place. You know, it's unacceptable if Thames Water or Thames Tideway haven't passed on complaints. They have been told now by us you must pass this information on. If there is a complaint, there must be a log kept and it must be passed on to us. Also seeking to ensure that we get far more timely information. For instance, I think noise and air quality reports for February were delivered in June. That is far too late after the event to have any meaningful impact for anyone to say, hold on, what's going on? And so we need a far more timely reporting on that. But I was satisfied yesterday, certainly after the meeting that I had with officers, that this is something which continues to be taken and treated as a very significant matter in terms of the impact it will have on residents. I know Councillor McCallum and others know I passionately supported the opposition to this going ahead, and I did make that pledge last year. That continues, and please, please do come to me if there are any concerns, because I will see what we can do to unlock things. But with those officers in place, with Alistair Huggett as the point person, as it were, in the event that that person cannot help, then I think we've got a system that should work. But it's unsatisfactory, as I say, when things don't get through the system as they should do.
Councillor Lyons, do you have a supplemental?
Thank you. I'd just like to say thank the Leader for his response to this question that seeks to reassure everybody in the borough of their welcome in this borough following the rather shocking result of the 23rd of June. And to say that we are very happy to work and support the later motion within the council to ensure that this borough at least has a reputation that it deserves to maintain in its welcome to the wider population. Thank you.
Was there a question?
No.
Okay. Let's move on. Councillor Dennis, do you have a supplemental?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you to the Leader for his response. There's obviously a lot of uncertainty around the impacts of Brexit at the moment, and particularly concerned when thinking about Southwark about some of the impact on the debate, the theme of the debate this evening in terms of housing investment and also the construction industry as well. In light of all the potential impacts, does he agree that local authorities and the London Mayor need to be represented in any Brexit negotiation, given the huge implications for funding, jobs and public services?
I want to thank Councillor Dennis for her supplemental question. I also thank Councillor Lyons for her comments in response. The answer to Councillor Dennis's supplemental question is undoubtedly yes. I think it is important that the Mayor and London's councils are represented in any negotiations. I think many of us were deeply affected by the Brexit vote just 3 weeks ago. And I think particularly because so many of us love London as it is, as such a vibrant international metropolis. And when one bears in mind the fact that probably a third of EU nationals who live in the UK live in London, it's right that we recognise that, you know, they are Londoners as much as we are, and although they were not allowed a say in the Brexit vote, we value them hugely as members of our community. I think it's really important for London that a city which has, I believe, gained so much from membership of the European Union, we do not lose all of the wonderful advantages that have come from that. And I do think it's important that the Mayor and councils have some representation around the table. If it's good enough for Scotland, quite frankly, it's good enough for us as a city which is about half the size, again, of that nation. So I think our voice should be heard going forward. And she's absolutely right. you know, this threatens to have huge implications across a whole range of areas of our life in this city, and we want to get the very best deal for London and for Londoners, wherever they may have come from, and wherever they may go in life.
Councillor Noakes.
Thank you. Can I thank the Leader of the Council for his response and welcome the news that there does not appear to have been a rise in hate crimes in Southwark. But one of the big problems with hate crime is underreporting. Therefore, can I ask him what Safer Southwark Partnership and the Council have done or are planning to do to promote how to report hate crime?
I want to thank Councillor Noakes for his supplemental question. Well, I think it's doing as much as we can, and again, as councillors, reminding people of the importance of reporting. A new borough commander is in place as of last week, and I know that he is particularly concerned about this issue since the Brexit vote. Councillor Noakes is absolutely right in terms of unreporting. I think it's throwaway comments, little bits of abuse that people are not going to rush to the police about, but have perhaps changed the tone and texture of our city since the 23rd of June, and we all have to be vigilant for that. We all have to be utterly intolerant of that, and I think it's really important, as Councillor Dale said earlier on in her speech, that we all unite in condemning any xenophobia or hate crime in the motion later on, and I think that will be an important statement coming cross-party, as it will.
Councillor Cotu.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I just want to thank the Leader for his response. It's great to see that so many people are already making good use of the new Castle Leisure Centre. Does the Leader think that we will get an increase in uptake following the launch of the free swim and gym in July? And how does the Council intend to monitor the increase?
I want to thank Councillor Okoto for her supplemental question. I think there will be a huge increase in use of our leisure centres, not just the Castle, after the 29th of July, when free swim and gym goes live on Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays. Labour administration delivering on one of its absolute key pledges to the residents of our borough. Of course, it won't be a success as a policy unless people who otherwise would not have gone to our leisure centres begin to use them. And that is what we are going to be monitoring. And it is something which was integral to the contract negotiations between ourselves and Everything Active, who have taken over managing our leisure centres. There have been a few teething issues, I think, in the initial weeks, which Councillor Anderson has been working hard with officers to iron out in that. I think it wasn't the best of handovers from Fusion, but there we are. But it's really important factor that we will be monitoring who's going into our leisure centres and who becomes members and who takes advantage of swim and gym offer. And I'll be pleased to report back to Council Assembly once this is up and running.
Councillor Al-Samari.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor, and thank you to the Leader for his answer. I did get some figures from officers as well and was troubled, really, that of 635 domestic violence housing applications, only 329 were ones where the Council accepted a duty to rehouse, so about half, really. I appreciate what he said in his answer, but that just does worry me that half the people who turn up at Bournemouth Road saying, I'm a victim of domestic violence and need rehousing, are refused. I wondered whether that figure worries him and whether perhaps he could ask the relevant Cabinet member to have a look at what support at least is offered to those people who are refused.
I want to thank Councillor Al-Samari for her supplementary question. It's something that we are reviewing very often, actually, at the moment, and I think there have been two instances where cases have been drawn to our attention in 2016, which have made us go back and look at our robust processes in place. And I think the reviews have demonstrated or suggested that, yes, they are robust, and we are giving people support, advice and guidance, and accepting applications where there is that clear duty. But you know, it is something that we constantly review. Councillor Cryan is looking again as a consequence of the most recent incident brought to light at the start of this month, which was raised, although I'm not sure from the facts that I understand that there were any adverse issues. I think we accepted and were giving advice within minutes to somebody who came into our homelessness unit, and we'll continue to do that. But, you know, as an authority, as an administration that has a commitment on domestic violence, we will always keep that under review and see what we can do to improve our processes to help those when they're in need.
Councillor Pollock.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and welcome to the Chair. Before quickly responding to the answer to my question, I wanted to align myself with the sentiments expressed by my ward colleague, Catherine Dale, and with Sonny Lam as well, about the absolute importance of being united in condemning hate crime and racism and xenophobia, which has become increasingly normalised in recent days. It's important to remind ourselves always that we only have each other locally, nationally, internationally, and that we need to be absolutely vigilant in ensuring that we uphold the highest standards of civility, tolerance, and mutual respect that we consider the basis of our civilization here in Britain and Southwark. I wanted to thank the council leader for his response to my question on the Housing and Planning Act that rides roughshod over the express and explicit democratic will of the people of Southwark, who want maximum social housing,
question,
maximum council
please.
Homes. And I'd like to ask him, among the many iniquities of that Housing and Planning Act, whether he agrees that it's completely disingenuous for the Tory government to impose those huge rent hikes on council tenants through pay-to-stay by arguing that council tenants need to pay their fair share, while refusing to acknowledge that council housing is in fact entirely self-funded and not subsidised by taxpayers at all.
I want to thank Councillor Pollock for his supplementary question. I do agree with him. I think it is completely unfair that the government is doing this. And it would seem to run, as I think we've observed before, contrary to that
quick
great
Tory
mantra of aspiration
and
getting on. And, you know, the fact is, in many cases, people actually will be holding back from taking those extra hours at work or taking that promotion or taking that little pay increase because it will push them over the edge into a much higher bracket for council rent. And that's unacceptable. It's silly. It's counterproductive and just demonstrates how ill thought through this Tory government's policies have been and how disastrous David Cameron has been. Minister of this country, leading this country out of the EU in an ill-thought-through vote in order to satisfy his own party political problems.
I'll have to ask you to stop now, Councillor John.
And we look forward to Boris Johnson as Foreign Secretary, don't we all?
The time for questions to the leader has ended. We shall now consider questions from community councils. So we have Councillor Kieran Williams.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the Cabinet Member for his answer. It looks like the scheme on the Walworth Road has been a success, certainly walking through the area. So I'd like to thank for the work that's done on that, both to yourself and certainly to Councillor Merrill as well, that I know started this work. I wonder if you could say a bit more about the feedback from residents and traders in the area, and also my personal question, when might this come to Camberwell, because it's desperately wanted there too?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and congratulations on chairing your first full assembly meeting, and also congratulations to Councillor Whitehead on his election to the council. I'd like to thank Councillor Williams for his question. We've had a very positive response and feedback from both residents and businesses alike. And I'm sure all Walworth councillors will agree that it has been a successful event, an inclusive trial, a full consultative trial where all manner of observations were made and included in the final report. That report has been sent to Peckham Vision because they requested it, and next week on the 19th of July, Peckham Vision are holding a Cleaner Peckham event, which is going to consider the best way to deal with waste and recycling in the town centre as a consequence of the Walworth Road project. So I would encourage all local councillors in Peckham to try and get along to that meeting. We then intend to roll it out to other parts of the borough, and as you're probably aware, Councillor Williams Camberwell will demand my attention in one way or another, and I'm sure it will come to Camberwell in due course. But again, I'd like to pay my congratulations to Councillor Merrill as well for leading on this when he occupied the Cabinet portfolio. Thank you.
Councillor Hartley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and my thanks to the Cabinet Member for the first update. I am conscious that the bureaucracy of Council Assembly means that this update was provided very shortly after the actual Community Council meeting. So could I ask the Cabinet Member, following his engagement with the Community Council and the long-term engagement both of the Cabinet Members and indeed the Transport Officers, can he provide us with an update to this update?
Thank you, and I'd like to thank Councillor Hartley for his supplemental question. It was a very enjoyable occasion, as you're aware, and certainly to be in such a calm atmosphere compared to other meetings that I attend, it was a truly invigorating experience. As you're aware, I had already written to the Mayor requesting that a holistic review be done of transport needs within the Dulwich area. And now that the decision that was made by the Community Council has cleared the scrutiny process, I will write again to the Mayor this week. I haven't had a response, by the way, to that initial request. I will write again to the Mayor this week informing him of the decision of the Community Council in order to back up my request. And I will also be writing to the relevant Deputy Mayor for Transport and the local Assembly member, inviting them to a site visit in Dulwich so that they can meet local residents and community groups directly to talk about this matter. Thank you.
Councillor Kerslake.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to thank the Leader for his response. And also to echo what my colleagues in both sort of sides of this room have said about hate crime. When we discussed this in Community Council, we actually talked about a home care worker for the council who was uncomfortable about making home visits. And in the context of some of the sort of unpleasant things we've seen after the referendum, but also actually in the context of the death of Jo Cox MP, which was only 3 weeks ago, I wonder if the Leader can give some assurance and perhaps some advice to both council staff and to councillors who are perhaps uncomfortable about some of the activities that we take.
I want to thank Councillor Kerslake for her question. I mean, I think we are reviewing what we do with our councillors' surgeries, and I hope that's being done on a cross-party basis in terms of ensuring that people are can be confident and comfortable when static surgeries are taking place. I think there is best practice also in terms of mobile surgeries that we should share and talk about to ensure that people understand that. And likewise, for council staff, we are seeing what other procedures we can put in place to make sure that everyone feels safe going about their daily tasks. Weirdly, I think it's quite often councillors who sometimes take the greatest risks in terms of contact with people, which is an essential part of our job. It's important. It's how we find out what people's views are. But there are precautions that we can take which will make it, which I think we would all welcome to make sure we all feel safe going about doing that very important job. And I do hope that there is good practice that comes out of the cross-party work that the WIPs are undertaking on this subject.
Councillor Chopra.
No further question, Madam Mayor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As the Cabinet Member for Housing is not here, we'll move on to Cabinet Member for Regeneration. So, Councillor Kerslake. Have you got a supplemental?
No, I've just asked it. Thank you, Anna.
Councillor Lauder.
I'd like to thank him for his answer. I've got a supplementary question. What support will the council give to businesses on the Old Kent Road affected by regeneration?
I'd like to thank Councillor Lauder for her supplemental. This is a really key issue for us as we bring forward the regeneration of the Old Kent Road. The vast majority of the 20,000 new homes and 5,000 new jobs that we want to see built down the Old Kent Road is largely going to be on what is currently industrial land. And we're going to be putting extra resource into the planning and the regeneration team to make sure that the support is there for the businesses. And I think that support breaks down into several different areas. I think it's support for businesses that may be moved, that may be affected by the regeneration, those that are renting their space rather than own it, making sure that they have somewhere that they can move to and prosper. It's about support for businesses that can take advantage of the regeneration and grow their offer. It's about support for new businesses that we want to bring into the area and local people start setting those up so that they can be a success. But it's also support for businesses who may own their own premises or those on longer-term leases to make sure that if it is possible to design them into new schemes, new housing schemes, that is done and that we have those mixed schemes coming forward. And this isn't about, as some people have been saying, clearing away everything that's on the Old Kent Road at the moment. It's about working sensitively over time. This is a 20-year project with those businesses on the Old Kent Road to make sure they can make the most of the opportunities that come, but that the very real challenges that they also face, that we're doing enough work to help them through this potentially difficult time for them.
Councillor Sunny Lamb, do you have a supplemental?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. May I thank you and congratulate you on your chairing the first meeting of the Assembly. Yes, I do have a supplementary question. May I thank the Cabinet Member for his answers to my initial question. My supplementary question is, can the Cabinet Member explain what flexibility there will be in the requirement for the new leisure centre?
I'd like to thank Councillor Lamb for his supplemental. So in the written answer, talk about the Council looking at being more flexible in the requirements for the new leisure centre at Canada Water. And this came out of a difficult but very constructive public meeting we held about 2 weeks ago with all the residents in the area who were concerned. And at that meeting, I committed on behalf of the Council that we're not going to plough ahead with Plot 6, as it's known, as our preferred site for the leisure centre, but that we're going to go back to British Land and look again at every single site in the master plan area and in the neighbouring area to make sure that we get this site for the new leisure centre, what will be a fantastic new facility for residents, in the right place. Part of that is us going away and looking at the requirements that we set out in a Cabinet report about 18 months ago. But I'd just like to reassure Councillor Lamb, because this leisure centre will serve Bermondsey residents in his ward, as well as those in Rotherhithe and Surrey Docks ward and Livesey ward and Riverside ward, that when I talk about being flexible, that the requirements we've set out for 150 station gym, three studios, an 8-lane 25-metre pool, a hydrotherapy learner pool, and a creche and a cafe, and a four-court sports hall, they're non-negotiable. They're absolutely at the heart of what we want to deliver. What we may be more flexible on is if British Land can demonstrate to us other examples in London and across the country where parts of leisure centres have been built over so that we don't have to have that freehold site on its own, then that's something we'll look at and we'll consider if it means we can be more flexible and not have that very real impact on the residents of Hoffield Place, Hythe Grove and China Hall Mews. But the facilities in there, they're non-negotiable, and that's the high quality that we want for our residents.
Councillor Hubbard, do you have a supplemental?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Can I ask the Cabinet Member, thanking him for his reply, ask him whether he would consider discussing with his colleague, the Cabinet Member for Housing, the use, more use, if we don't do so already, of empty property management orders. It's something the Council has power to do. I've mentioned this on two or three occasions in the past. We could bring empty properties into use if by using the orders which are available to us. I don't know whether we are increasing our numbers. When I was given the answer previously, there were very few. So perhaps I could ask the Cabinet Member if he and his colleague, Councillor Cryan, would consider this.
Thank you, Councillor. But I think that may be the question to Councillor Cryan rather than to myself that's on the order paper. That's something I'll discuss with Councillor Cryan, and obviously bringing empty homes into use is absolutely key. There's not as many as has been claimed in press releases from the side opposite. We were recently praised by the Evening Standard for having one of the best records in London of reducing the number of empty properties, and we're in the top four, I think, from memory. But of course, we'll look at that. We're looking at bringing in a higher council tax for empty properties and removing the discount period for empty properties from 2 months to zero. But if we're going to tackle the housing crisis, yes, it's empty homes, but it's about building more homes of all kinds, and that's the way we're really going to tackle the housing crisis, get our waiting list down, and help people to have a long, stable, secure future in our borough.
Councillor Linforth-Hall, do you have a supplement?
Yes, Madam Mayor, thank you. And first of all, let me congratulate you for your first assembly. Can I ask the Cabinet Member that, given the huge amount of unspent and allocated funding, why does the Council not ensure its own planning policy of 35% affordable housing in all developments over 10 units is adhered to in order to ensure desperately needed new homes and build more quickly?
Thank you, Councillor Linthorpe-Hall, for your supplemental question. The reason why in some, and it is a limited number of cases, we accept an in-lieu payment rather than on-site affordable homes, is that if on some of those sites, and Skipton House is a good example, and One Blackfriars, which is being constructed at the moment, is if we got affordable, if we really pushed and said, no, we're not going to have any off-site, we're not going to have any in-lieu payment, you've got to do it on-site, we'd actually get less affordable housing, and it would be less affordable in itself, because 60-80% market rents in some of these locations, it's just not affordable. It's not affordable to people on 70 grand, let alone people on more modest incomes who are eligible for council homes. So by taking this money instead, we can build many more times of genuinely affordable homes on council rents on our own land, right across the borough, up and down the borough. And in the answer, yes, there's £45 million of committed sums that we haven't spent yet, but as I set out in answer to the debate earlier on this evening, we've got many, many sites in the pipeline, 540 going on site this year, many more on the way, and all of this money, every single penny of this money, will be spent on new council homes as quickly as we possibly can, genuinely affordable homes that our residents can afford, and that's the right thing to do to get our waiting list down in our borough.
Councillor Lurie, you have a supplement?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor, and congratulations on your new role. I'd like to thank the Cabinet Member for his response and ask what lessons he thinks that we can learn from this scheme, which has been so successful at Erfurt Castle.
I'd like to thank Councillor Lurie for her supplemental in 30 seconds. 500 jobs so far at Elephant Park, so that residents, nearly half of those previously unemployed. I think what the lessons to learn from this are, it's about partnership, real genuine partnership between the council and developers, to make sure that in the development agreements that we sign and the planning agreements that agree by planning committee and the Section 106s that we sign, that they have ambitious targets for new jobs. They didn't think they could deliver this, and they have, which is great news. The Construction Skills Centre will help, but it's genuine partnership and getting it in the legal documentation.
Perfect timing, Councillor Williams. Question time. Councillor John could learn a few things. Question time, as we move on to the next item.